Good morning, everyone. Glad to be here. I want to start by saying I appreciate all the prayers, phone calls, text that I got. Surgery went well. It took longer. The doctor said he had to open me up further than he thought he would because the clog was further up, but got all that cleared out. I probably shouldn't tell this in mixed company, but I do a lot of things I shouldn't do, so. The young nurses were great. I loved them, but their concept of time was way off. And the morning after surgery, I knew I needed to get up and walk. And the doctor came in and said, I want you to stay a couple days. I said, that ain't happening. I will spend the night. I'll be here today, then I'm leaving. He said, well, if the nurses tell me you can get up and walk on your own and get dressed, then I'll let you go. I said, all right. Well, this young nurse, I really liked her, come in there, and I said to her, I need to walk. Well, she said, I'll be back in just a couple minutes. Well, an hour later, she wasn't back. Well, I'm not a patient man. So I thought, I can walk without any help, and I got up, and I grabbed the corner of my little gown, pulled it up, took off down the hall. I got a little ways down the hall, and she come running. I told you I'd walk you. I said, well, I wouldn't want to wait for your couple minutes. And she got a hold of my arm, and I said, I don't need your help. I was nice, but I was aggravated. And she said, darling, you're mooning everybody. I said, I thought I had that covered. She said, only half. I said, well, then technically I'm only half mooning people. And she said, yeah, but let's get you back to your room. And the fourth time I got up and walked, when I walked by the nurse's desk, she was on the phone, said, I'm calling the doctor and telling him to send you home today. Cool. Them rooms are expensive. And I told the doctor, I can rest at home just as easy as I can here. But I got through it fine. Praise God. He opened the artery back up. I can already feel a big improvement. I'm going to start walking again when I heal up enough that I can walk far. I used to walk 5 miles a day, believe it or not. I plan on doing that. I've lost 34 pounds. I don't know why. I don't eat much anymore, but I'm feeling a lot better. And I know I always look good, so I ain't worried about that. This morning, I want to talk to you about, I entitled this, A Most Gracious Invitation. It's found in Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. Probably very familiar to most of you if you've read the Word very long. It says, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we can trust and know with certainty that your word is truth. Father, I pray today that I will decrease, that you, Holy Spirit, will increase, and that you will bring this message to us in a way that we will be able to understand it and take hold of these promises that we have in Christ Jesus. I pray for those who are not here today because of illness. I pray for the Paxton family, Lord, that you will be with them and comfort them. Your word says you delight in the death of your saints, but we mourn. And Father, I just ask that you would touch them with the comfort of your spirit. Bless all who are here. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, in this section of the text, had just rebuked some of the major cities in Judea that he had preached and taught and done his miracles in because they didn't repent. He upbraided them. And where we came in right after he spoke his rebukes, he told those cities it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah and Tyre on the day of judgment than for you. You know, we're responsible for what we know, church. Jesus said, be careful what you hear, because unto whom I give much, I require much. There's a responsibility and accountability to being a Christian. It's not an easy walk. God holds us accountable. And these people should have recognized that he was the Messiah. Jesus said, if I hadn't done the works no one else did, then you cannot believe me. But he said, I have done the works. The works that I've done have testified that the Father has sent me. And when we come into this, he prays and thanks God that he said, you've hidden it from the wise and the understanding. The Jewish leaders, Greg mentioned them this morning, were highly educated men. They probably had the equivalent of doctorates. They spent their lives studying the scriptures and trying to teach them. And Jesus rebuked them and he said, you know, you study the scriptures diligently because you think by them you have eternal life. And it are those who testify about me, but you won't come to me. Well, in today's text, Jesus gives a most gracious invitation. He says, come to me. Now, who is Jesus? If you don't know that, that's a question you're going to have to answer, a decision you're going to have to make. There's a group called Progressive Christians that are neither progressive nor Christians who teach that Jesus was just a man and that he lived a good moral life. He was killed on the cross, and we are to emulate his example. That's a fancy word for imitate. Is Jesus just a man? Jehovah's Witnesses say, well, he was an angel that became a man. Other people teach other things. What does the Bible say about Jesus? The Apostle John wrote in his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side has made him known to us. So John clearly says that Jesus is God the Word, who became a man and walked among us. This is why this invitation is so gracious to me. The Apostle Paul wrote, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. When the translators use the word Lord, they substitute it for the word God. So Paul said Jesus is God, who humbled himself, left the glories of heaven, came down as a man, walked among us, lived among us, The writer of Hebrews said he was tempted every way that you and I are, yet without sin. He is holy and undefiled, separate from sinners. And yet God the Son chose to eat with sinners. He talked with sinners. He listened to sinners. And he offered them a new life. Come to me. He didn't say, join a church, and I'm not against the church, that's the body. He didn't say, come to a form of religion. He didn't say, come to a set of rigid rules. The Jews had the law, they were rigid rules. Jesus said, no, you come to me. What a gracious invitation. God the Son said, you come to me. The one who created all things. The one who is the source of all life. The one who is the absolute and only truth says, come to me. Who does he invite? All who labor and are heavy laden. All. Everyone and anyone who is burdened with the cares and the anxieties of this life. Those who seem to struggle to no avail with the sin that so easily besets them. Those who are confused about the things they see going on in the world. You know, the religious leaders rebuked Jesus because he sat and ate with the sinners, and I liked his answer. They didn't even talk to him. They talked to the disciples, said, why does your master eat with sinners? And Jesus looked at them and said, well, the healthy people don't need a doctor. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call the sinners. What a gracious invitation. God loves us so much that he said, I want to redeem these people. He gave the law, and no one will be justified by the works of the law. Some people think they will. The blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ does. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our conscience from acts that lead to death. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And I will say, along with the Apostle Paul, of who I am chief. I was a vile man. A lot of you would have probably crossed the street when you saw me coming before I came to Christ. And I didn't care. And then a little Baptist preacher came to my house and he said, can I tell you the gospel? I said, no. I've heard it and I don't want to hear it again. Can I pray with you? I said, no. And he reached over and got my hand and started praying for me. I wanted to slap him, but I thought, well, I probably shouldn't slap a preacher. And he looked at me and he said, I know you don't want to hear this, but God loves you. And that's why I'm here, because I love you. You know what? I couldn't find any hypocrisy in that statement. He was in my house. I was a drug dealer, and he knew it. I was a drunkard, and he knew it. I had a very ill temper, and he knew it. And that little redneck Baptist preacher came to my house and got me by the hand and said, I love you, and God loves you. I worked for one Baptist preacher. I milked cows for him, and he was going out to preach revival one night. I didn't know he's out there, and I was giving his cows a good cussing because they wouldn't go in the barn. And he come down and said, I don't like you talking to my cows that way. I said, I'm talking to them, you're not. I thought you were going to church. Well, I am, but I never heard such language. I said, well, that ought to give you something to preach on. And he left and he said, you're going to hell. I said, I know that. And I said, I'll save you a spot. Because I've seen the way you live, and I ain't so sure you're going to heaven. That kind of preaching and teaching didn't bother me. People just tell, you know you're going to hell? Yeah, I'm going to hell. I know I'm going to hell. But that one little redneck come up to me and said, I'm here because I love you. I couldn't argue that. I couldn't say you're a liar. He was there. And on the inside, I was just shaking the whole time he prayed for me. But I was a stubborn and proud man, and I said no. But about a month later, I hit my knees in the living room of a friend's house, and I cried out, God, have mercy on me. And he heard me, and he had mercy on me. Jesus said, everyone, all who will respond, all who will come to me in faith, come to me. It's an open invitation, church. I've had people over the years say, well, Rick, you don't know what I've done. No, and I don't care what you've done. God knows what you've done, and he's willing to forgive it. You can't get any more gracious than that. You don't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. The man that wrote Amazing Grace preached on the grace of God for 9 years. His church said he was ate up with it. And he said, I just can't believe God would have mercy on a man like me. He was a slave trader. He was a rum runner. He was almost a pirate. But he called out to the Lord one night and he was saved. Jesus Christ is in the business of changing hearts and lives. I can testify to that. I'm not the man I was 40 years ago. Do I still need improvement? Oh, yeah. I'm a work in progress. But I know 40 years from now I won't be the man I am now. Well, yeah, I'll be 105. I won't be the man I am now 40 years from now. And wait till we get to heaven. You ain't going to believe what you see. Do you hear his promise? I will give you rest. Life's a struggle, church. Anybody that tries to tell you these TV preaching gurus are liars. They're in it for the money, and they want to tell you that walking with Christ is a bed of roses. Well, it's not. Jesus never said, come follow me and it'll be easy. He said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to carry a cross. I carried one for you. Are you going to carry it for me? A cross is about death and suffering, but you don't go alone. Jesus said, I'll give you rest. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. Do you hunger for the presence of God, Christian? I know the charismaniacs freak us out when they start talking about the gifts of the Holy Ghost and roll around on the floor. Well, the Bible says, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he will stand or fall. I don't judge that. I don't roll around on the floor. I don't speak in tongues. But I have been filled with the Spirit of Christ. That's what gets me through life. That's what gets me through the burden. When I think I can't take it anymore, I can call out to my Lord and say, help me. And he's right there. And I get that rest that he promised. It's not easy. Life is full of pain. It's full of suffering. It's full of confusion. But we don't walk alone, church. There are times that God will let you go through things because he wants to discipline you and I. He loves us. And the Bible says that if you're not disciplined by God, it's because you're not his child. But when he does discipline us, it's for our good. He doesn't want to judge us with the world. Jesus promised before he went to the cross that when the Spirit of truth comes, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will speak on his own authority, but whatever he, not on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That's rest. I hear people argue all the time about salvation by works, salvation by grace. All salvation has to be worked at, church. You got to work at it. Do I mean do good works to try to earn it? No, you have to obey. You have to follow Christ. You have to say, yes, Lord, even when you don't understand. Did you hear that promise? Jesus said, I will reveal the Father to you. He said in John 17, this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom He sent. We talk about living eternally and in heaven. The wicked and the righteous will live for eternity. The righteous shall live in the kingdom of God for eternity. The wicked shall live in the lake of fire with Satan and his angels, but they will live eternally. So when Jesus defined eternal life, he said, here it is, you'll know God. Do you hunger and thirst for that, Christian? Jesus said, you're blessed if you do, and he gave a promise. He said, I will fill you. Sometimes we stop growing in Christ, and this is my belief, we stop wanting to grow. We think we've reached the plateau. I've reached the place I want to be. I don't need to grow any further. And if you're believing that, you're being deceived. We need to continue to grow till the day we draw our final breath. I can testify to you personally, He has never left me alone. In my darkest moments, in the most trying times I've been through in my life, times when I did things that were stupid and He had to discipline me for, or I had to suffer some consequences for it, I never once felt that the Lord said, I'm done. You're an embarrassment. I've had it with you. He doesn't do that. He comes along beside of us and he gets us by the arm and he says, walk with me. When you're too weak to walk, I'll carry you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, if you're here today and you're wondering, what do I need to do? What should I do? I heard this, I've never received it, and I'd like to. And you're asking in your mind, what should I do? I'm going to tell you what the Scriptures say. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, was preaching to the children of Israel after being filled with the Holy Spirit. He told them, you murdered the Messiah, but God raised him from the dead. And they said, what do we need to do? Not everybody. That was during Pentecost. Jerusalem was full of Jews. 3,000 people said, what do we need to do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. I've been preaching the gospel going on 26 years. I've had more Christians rebuke me for this passage than non-Christians. Oh, that's work salvation. Take it up with Peter. Take it up with the Holy Spirit. Peter didn't originate that. Well, I don't see what being dunked in water is going to do. I don't know how that works either, other than it's an obedience. What a most gracious invitation. God says, you're wicked. Your heart is deceitful above all things. But I love you. And I want you with me. There's no other name under heaven given by which men must be saved than the name of Jesus the Christ. Anybody that tells you any different is lying to you. You need to put your hand on your wallet and take a step back, because anyone that'll lie to you will probably steal from you too. Would you stand with me this morning? I've been a Christian 40 years, and it's still hard for me to get my mind around that God came after a meth-smoking, whiskey-drinking, womanizing, vile man that I was. But in His mercy, He reached out for me. And He sent a voice to tell me, I love you. I'm telling you that this morning. If you're here and you've never called on the name of the Lord, call on Him. Don't wait. Call out to Him. If He's dealing with your heart right now, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't harden your heart against God. The more you harden your heart, the easier it gets. And one day you'll walk into eternity doing what it is He's asked you to do. Would whoever have our closing prayer please close for us?